Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this pod, we cover the late pick five at Del Mar on Pacific Classic Day, Saturday, August 21st. This is show number 135, August 20th, 2021. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, are you ready to venture to Las Vegas next week for the NHC?
Definitely. I am really looking forward to it. I always look forward to the NHC. You know, this year is a little different, but I think there's a lot of positives, especially in terms of quality of racing. The quality of the cards that we'll be able to handicap this year are just much better than they typically are at an NHC that's held in, you know, late January, early February. So that part of it's pretty exciting to me, and I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, I'm not sure how many people aren't going to show up because they can't deal with masks. However, we are going to be limited to five people per table, so it's going to be a little bit more spacious. And, you know, like the Belmont Stakes, when I went into the paddock for every race, including the Belmont Stakes, there weren't as many people. So in that way, it might be kind of nice too, a little less crowded, lines a little shorter.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate that some people won't be able to attend either for health reasons or just they're not happy about, you know, some of the constraints that'll be applied to kind of keep people safe. So that's a little bit of a downside. So we'll probably miss a few faces we normally see there. But yeah, I agree that the number of people will be a little more manageable. Although I always kind of like that convention atmosphere and the camaraderie you get with all the people. So, you know, that'll be good. There'll be plenty of people there and I'll get a chance to see some people I haven't seen in quite a while. A couple of them that typically sit at our table aren't going to be there this year. So we actually have a few spots available at our table. And maybe if there's some pod guests out there who are new to the NHC or don't have a group of folks that they typically sit with and might want to join the two of us for the NHC, let us know. What would be the best way for them to contact us, you think? Send us a message on Twitter?
I think that's the best way to do it. Hit us up on Twitter, Carsoni SOK or Derby1592.
Yeah. So if you are,
or I should say that 159 and two.
Right. So, let us know if you're looking for a spot to sit and maybe we can have you join us at the table. Scott and I are looking forward to it. Regardless of who we sit with, typically it's kind of nice to meet somebody new. I know we've met some people for the first time at the NHC and, you know, that's just adds to the fun.
Yeah, it's always it's a great meeting new people, and I've met so many people that way. And like, you know, some have come and gone. Some have only, you know, qualified one time, and I never saw them again. There's others who I see on a regular basis. It is a great camaraderie experience. I do want to say, while I'm thinking of it, that we will not have a podcast next week because it's too time consuming and we're going to be deeply involved in competing in the NHC.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll be one of us or both of us will make a run in the contest this year. Last year, neither one of us had a particularly good year. You had a really good year either 2 or 3 years back. So, you know, hopefully one of us will have success and that's always fun. One thing nice about the NHC, though, even if you're not having a good day, typically somebody you know is that you can kind of cheer on and root for. So as long as you're not the kind of person that resents anybody else's success and you can sort of, you know, enjoy it along with them, there's always that opportunity as well, even when you don't have a good day. And so, you know, I have fun regardless. It's always more fun when you when you do well. But, you know, I at least I can have a good time, even if I don't, because typically there's somebody I can cheer for.
Sure. I mean, you know, winning is important. However, if you're going to have a bad day, it's great if somebody else at your table does have a good day, because you're going out for dinner that night.
That's right. That's right. There is some, there are some benefits to celebrating the success of others, and there's some, a nice meal sometimes comes along with that. So absolutely.
Play in the Sport of Kings NHC qualifier starting every month. Each month, the top 50 players who are NHC Tour members advance to Round 2, which is Breeders' Cup weekend. In that final, 450 players will duke it out, playing all 14 Breeders' Cup races. Two people will win a seat to the NHC, and the top 100 will get tour points. Join the NHC Tour before any monthly Round 1 begins. If you join the tour, you could win up to 20 seats to the NHC in free contests. For only $50, it's the best deal in racing. If you sign up for the tour, use promo code SPORTOFKINGS so we get credit. If you haven't signed up for our free contest with free DRFPPs, go to sportofkings.net right now. Thank you and good luck. We have a special returning guest. He's a professional horse player and successful contest player, and most recently won the Los Alamitos Live Bankroll Contest. Unless you want something else since then, Duke. Duke Matisse, welcome back.
Thanks, Scott. It's good to be back. Hopefully we can give out some good winners as we've done in the past. That puts a little more pressure on us, but hopefully we got some.
Well, you know, we had you on for Pacific Classic Day last year, and we crushed it. And if you can believe it, this blows my mind, because I was like, was that the year Maximum Security won the Pacific Classic? And it was. And that was only a year ago.
Wow. Seems like forever ago.
It does. I mean, you know, you're seeing the ads for him at stud now. And, you know, and that was Jason Service. And that was last year.
No, that was Baffert training him, though.
And it switched to Baffert.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Baffert was training. But, you know, I know I hit the pick five that day, and it was a good day. And, like, I think we had – you had Red Lark, who's running again today, who beat United. And I know I used another red horse. I forget who it was, but it was like a 20-1.
Well, let's see if we can pick some today.
Duke, are you ready for the NHC next week?
I'm not in the NHC next week, so I am not ready for it. It was a COVID year. I didn't play too much at it because I like to play the live tournaments more than the online ones. And I think I only got to one or two in 2020. So I'm debating whether I'm going to go out there at all. It's a possibility still. So I got about a few days to think about it. So it's still up in the air if I go out and maybe see everybody and play the last chance.
I just assumed you made it because you've qualified 16 or 17 times.
It's the first year I haven't qualified since I learned of the NHC. So that damn COVID got me.
Well, you could do the last chance, though. There's still a last chance, right?
That's true.
First chance, last chance. You've already qualified for next year, though, right?
Yeah, I won the Los Al tournament. That was a little tournament at Los Al. I love that track. So kind of led almost the whole day. And then I lost the lead at the end with two races ago and regained it. But I love those smaller tournaments like at Los Al. And I used to go to the Fairplex tournaments all the time, which I enjoyed so much. So I wish I missed that place.
Yeah, I remember you had for the Los Al, I think your final bankroll was 4,000, which is pretty sweet. What was the beginning bankroll that day?
I want to say 300 or 400, I think.
Yeah, it was low because, I mean, you were clearly ahead of other people. I mean, the scores weren't that big, so they had to be a low entry fee.
Yeah, it was a 500 entry fee. I can't remember if it was 300 bankroll or 400, but it was one or the other.
All right, cool. Well, Chris, do you have anything for Duke, or should we get into this pick five?
Yeah, I would like to just, because I know Duke's really follows things like, you know, track biases and, you know, for Del Mar, is there anything in particular that we should be aware of from a bias standpoint on either the main track or the turf course for the meet in general or just recently at the meet? Anything we ought to pay attention to?
Well, I thought yesterday, I thought the rail was no good at Del Mar, which is interesting because I thought it had been fair for the last, couple weeks. So it may be something to keep an eye on. I'm talking about the dirt yesterday. The turf, I think, has been a little speed and inside favoring, but not enough where you can't win. You know, it's not one of those. So I just tend to lean towards inside speed on the turf, and we got to keep an eye on the dirt. Maybe could be a little bit outside.
Okay, great. Yeah. Sounds like nothing real extreme or consistent that you've seen.
I haven't, normally Del Mar, the rail is not very good. And I think it started that way. I think the first day or the first and second day, I think were. But then they seem to, I think that was just getting the track. Like I keep track of like the average winning post position. It's probably something that a lot of people don't do. But for the first 2 days, it was over 7. So you know the track was a little bit outside, and then it started to get down in the 4s and 5 range where that's normal, you know. And then I think that's something that people could keep an eye on if they ever want to, like, just an easy way to keep track of track bias. That's the average winning post position, you know, where they start.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a question for you, Duke, because I meant to look this up and I forgot. I didn't get a chance to do it. Three of the races we're looking at today are turf races, and I meant to look up how speed was doing on the turf at Del Mar, because I've seen both kind of results, right? Like it was a closer maniac, closer flow, but also speed hanging on. So what's the verdict on how that's doing?
I think the turf has been mostly fair. I think it's getting a little firmer and a little harder, a little more like, you know, the grass is getting a little brown, you know, so I think speed has done better as of late, but I don't think it's like going to cost you the race. I don't think it's anything like that. I don't think it's an really extreme bias, but I do think it is tending to go that way.
Okay. Sorry before I rudely interrupted you, Chris.
No, I'm good. I'm ready to start talking about the races.
Okay, well then let's start. There's 4 stakes out of the 5 races. We'll start with the 7th race. It's the Del Mar Mile, Grade 2 Mile on Turf, purse of $300,000 for 3-year-olds and up. And Duke, why don't you get us started?
Really competitive race. Only 6 horses, but all can win. Depending on pace, I think pace will make this race. You got 2 speed horses, Neptune Storm and Smooth Like Straight. I would guess Smooth Like Straight will go to the lead, but I don't know. Neptune Storm is more than capable of holding them off. I don't think those two are the two top quality horses in the race. That's the problem here. I think the quality horse is on the outside, Moforza, but he's been off a lot of time and shows some slowish workouts for a horse that doesn't normally work that slow. That kind of scares me a little bit. So I landed on Hit the Road, a 2. If you look back last year at Del Mar, he beat a few of these. I think beat Smooth Like Straight and a few others in here, Count Again. And I think horses like Count Again and Next Year's are just going to get too far behind at a mile to get up with not, I don't see a really fast pace here. So I'm leaning on Hit the Road as my top choice.
hit the road, Jack, coming off a layoff, has a really big win here. Three races ago, a monster victory at Santa Anita. Chris, what did you think?
I wish you hadn't said that, because now I got that going in my mind. Hit the road, Jack. Anyway, so in terms of pace, I think given that Mo Forza's stablemate is Neptune Storm and it drew the rail, and they know Smooth Like Straight is dangerous if they just let him, you know, dictate things, that they'll send. That doesn't mean Smooth Like Straight can't win, but I do think that the pace will be honest and they're not going to let Smooth Like Straight, you know, walk on the front end at all. So I do think it'll be an honest pace. And it is interesting because I do agree with Duke. The two best horses, I think, are Hit the Road and Mo Forza. And they're both coming off layoffs, but they're both horses that typically fire off the bench. I mean, last year, Mo Forza won this race off a similar layoff. And Hit the Road, if you look, his best races seem like they're all off layoffs. So to me, it seems like probably one of them will fire and win. From a value standpoint, I think Hit the Road, just based on the morning line and what I think the likely off odds will be, you know, he's probably the better. And if you look at the workouts, Hit the Road seems to be training really well up to this. And like Duke said, Mo Forza he's not training the same way he did up to it last year. That doesn't mean he might not fire either. But between those two, you know, I would probably go with Hit the Road. I don't think at 5-2 he's a play, but you know, he might float up if they pound Mo Forza and or Smooth Like Straight. Count Agains, he's just a bit too much of a plotter for me to like going a mile in here against good horses. But if somehow things set up for him and he got the trip, he wouldn't shock me. But you know, I probably, from a pod pick standpoint. Well, and the other thing, if Rispoli tries to get a little too cute on Smooth Like Straight, Neptune Storm, not a bad horse. He might actually sneak away as well if they decide to just, you know, let him go and they get real tactical on Smooth Like Straight. So Neptune Storm wouldn't be impossible either. So I'm kind of with Duke. It's pretty wide open, but I would say, you know, Hit the Road is probably my pick for the pot.
Okay, a strong pick from Chris, probably his pick.
sorry.
That's all right. Look, I feel that way about some of the later races. And actually, I don't feel that strongly about this race, but I read the DRF story about Smooth Like Straight, or about this race, and so there's quotes from Peter Miller, Dan Blacker and Michael McCarthy. I'm gonna pick Smooth Like Straight as the horse, despite him vexing me, because whenever I get on him, he gets caught. But he looks very good in the spot. He's always been fast. The mile is his best distance. He's 4-for-7 at the distance and 2-for-4 at Del Mar. Those two wins were at a mile and a mile and a 16th. He's only lost to Del Mar going a mile and an eighth. And in his last, he lost to United by a neck while giving him 4 pounds. And United is a strong contender in the last race. There were some interviews with the trainers, and trainer Michael McCarthy, I don't know if he talks like this usually. I don't think he does. He said he's not worried about Mo Forza or Hit the Road. So I'm with Smooth Like Straight because I think he's going to get a perfect trip. And he implied also that he was going to take the lead. It's possible that he won't actually take the lead if they send Neptune Storm. But he's a horse that can sit just off the speed if he has to.
Well, if I were Mike McCarthy, I would be worried about Hit the Road and Mo Forza. Doesn't mean he can't win, but I'd be worried about him. Duke, anything you want to add?
Well, not really. This isn't the race that I have a strong opinion on. I'm not going to lose in this race. I just thought that this was the race for Hit the Road. He's not going to be like a single or anything. I'm obviously going to use Mo Forza on tickets. And I know you mentioned Count Again. I like the horse Count Again. I just don't see the pace scenario where he can get up at a mile. I mean, I think he's going to be flying at the end, but I think it's just going to be too much to come. So and I think the two speed horses, I think Neptune Storm is really dressed up off his last win. I thought he got a very, very easy lead. And Smooth Like Straight hasn't been, I don't think he's been quite the same this year as compared to in the past. But you never know if he just stalked Neptune Storm and everybody else got a little too far behind, he could maybe hold on.
Yeah, I mean, he's no value, so it's not like, I mean, I think he's 9-5 morning line. But I will say this about Peter Miller said Mo Forza is only at 90% for this race, and his workouts are definitely slower than they were last year. And he scratched for the Breeders' Cup Mile because of a soft tissue injury. And to me, like when something like that happens, like we don't know if he's completely healed, especially when the trainer's saying he's only at 90%, but he thinks at 90% he can still win. I don't know. To me, he's got to prove it. So, like, to me, there's a value in playing against Mo Forza in this race. I would probably single Smooth Like Straight, but you guys had me looking at Hit the Road Again a second time, and I probably try to use him as well.
Well, he did beat Smooth Like Straight, so I Hit the Road did. I don't put any stock at all in what Peter Miller said about Mo Forza, but definitely he's got a gappy paper. He's definitely got physical issues, and you just never know. He could come back and run another big race and never race again, or he could come back and run flop and never run again, or he might string together a couple good races. I mean, but I agree with you, Scott. I mean, there are question marks there. And if they pound him, he's definitely a good play against. But it wouldn't shock me at all if he repeats what he did last year in this race, which probably wins.
Right. I mean, he was favored in this race last year off of a similar layoff, a little shorter, but still a long layoff. And so I think they might just based on my also Twitter feed, people really think Mo Forza is like one of the top turf horses in the country.
Well, at his best, he is. We just don't know if he's at his best, right?
That is correct. Okay, we'll move to the next race. It's the eighth race, an allowance optional claiming 7 furlongs on dirt, purse of 72,000 for 3-year-olds and up. Chris, why don't you get us started on this one?
Well, on this one, if you get the best dream shake there is, he's going to win this race. I mean, he's run some really good races this year, and he's the best horse in the race. And this is actually a pretty good race for a non-stakes race. But you don't know if he's at his best. You know, Peter Urton, I don't get what he does with some of these good 3-year-olds. He just spots them in all kinds of weird places. And he had this horse on the turf last time. Now he's taking the blinkers off. I mean, he just does weird stuff. And maybe he's a genius. I don't know. But, you know, his Dream Stakes last two races aren't inspiring. You could toss the one on the turf. But the race before that, he had front wraps on, and he didn't run very well. And so to me, in the picks, you got to kind of use him because you don't know. But I'm going to look at him before the race. I'm going to see if he's got front wraps on. I don't know if he did in his last race or not. I didn't watch the race. I should probably check that. And I just want to see what he looks like before the race. But I'm willing to take a swing against him, assuming he you know, even the pick fives, I'll use them, but I think you can beat him. After that, it's really hard. There's so many of them you could go with, but I landed on the 4, Adair, who hasn't been running really good this year. Last year had a pretty good fall and ran some races that definitely could win in here. This year it's been a little spotty, but I think the horse has excuses. A couple of the races were on the turf. I'm just going to toss those. And, you know, even the ones on the dirt, this horse hasn't really had good trips or good rides. So to me, we haven't seen the best of Adair this year, and maybe we will. I think 7 furlongs may be the perfect distance for this horse. and you should get a big price. It's 12-1 on the morning line. It will be coming from out of it a little bit, but it seems like there's enough speed in here to give him a chance to come from off the pace. So I'm going to go with the 4 horse, Adair.
Adair, and that is how you pronounce it. I will say that, having watched Trevor Denman pronounce it that way. And I have reason to mention that as a topic because there's a horse later in the card that I mispronounced last time. Duke, what did you think here?
I have this race pretty similar, believe it or not, to Chris. I like the way he analyzed Dream Shake because Dream Shake obviously is the best horse off his best race. And he's been off Lasix for his last 5 starts, which could be a reason to play him, could be a reason not to. I don't know why he ran him on the turf last time. He doesn't really have any turf breeding. Peter Yurton does place horses in weird spots. His race 2 back, I have the rail being very bad that day in the Woody Stevens, and he was pretty much on it from the top of the stretch to home. And if he runs anywhere near that kind of race, he's going to win. But that being said, the front wrap scares me from 2 back. He did not wear them last time on the turf, but horses don't usually wear them on the turf. The four horse, Adair. Again, we were going back to talking about track bias. Adair last time, that was the first or second day. I think it was the first day of the meet, actually, at Del Mar. Now, the rail was not good at all the first day of the meet. As I mentioned earlier, the average winning post position, I think, was well over 7. Horses were sweeping outside, and he got left in the gate and was inside the whole way and really showed that he could improve big time off that race, because I believe the second place finisher was I Got No Money, who came back and really impressed in a no pace race and outkicked, I think, a Baffert horse that was loose on the lead, and really was impressive. So for value wise, I'm all over Adair. I'm most scared of Dream Shake. The only 2 others that I even considered were Risk and Reward, and I don't like his post position drawing the rail going 7 furlongs, and Scary Fast Smile, who should be the fast. He should be on the lead, but his race 2 back was a little dressed up at Santa Anita, where speed was very, very good that day. So I'm going to play the 4 as my price horse, but I'm a little, I have to use Dream Shake as a protection.
All right. Well, I'm a little discouraged to hear you say that Scary Fast Smile's race was dressed up 2 races ago. I did not actually watch the race, but they look like the 2 races that he had, of his 3 last races, the first 2 were big numbers in sprints before dogging it 2 turns in his last race, where he also was veered out. I'm not sure if that caused him the victory, but the 2 turns probably did. He's 6-1 morning line. That's my top pick is Scary Fast Smile, just because he ran 2 big races and then ran an off race, and that's just a pattern that works for me. There are a few others that I would use. I'm going to take your guys. I liked Adair's pattern. I watched that last race and I was like, oh, I could not find an excuse. But if you're saying the rail was an excuse, I'm gonna include him here, because that's good enough for me. And I'm not sort of a rail bias type specialist. There are a couple others that I think you do have to use. I think you do have to use Dream Shake. He's gonna be lower than 7-2, but like that's the morning line. Well, you don't want to lose the pick 5 when you have the fastest horse running off the screen, which could definitely happen. I'm also a little bit interested in Family Biz. He's a Racing Flow upgrade. He's 8-1. And I'll go this deep, because I'm going kind of skinny in a couple other races. Tis Hot and Dusty. He's run some fast races before and comes off 2 bad races. 3rd time could be the charm at 20-1.
Yeah, just for me to jump back in, up off what Duke said, yeah, risk and reward seems like the speed horse that you might want to use, especially with DreamShake taking the blinkers off. My guess is, and the way Ertin likes to do different things with his horses, they might try taking this horse way back or something. I don't know what they're going to do with that horse with DreamShake, but risk and reward from the rail. If the rail's not bad, we'll have to wait and see, because it, based on what Duke said, it was hinting that it might be. He's the speed I'd be interested in. And then the one that Scott mentioned, Family Biz, that's the other one I actually like, other than Adair, as a possible bet, in that, to me, that last race, a horse has excuses, just the way it was ridden, and it was on the rail, and that was early in the meet, so maybe, I don't know if that's when the rail was bad or not. Duke can maybe weigh in on that, but the horse had a lot of trouble trips in New York, and this is second time Miller on the Ship and Win, and horse cuts back. It comes from kind of out of it, but it drew an outside post, so Drew ought to be able to work a trip, and you know that horse ought to be finishing, and I think it's a lot better than its last few races would say it is.
Yeah, Family Biz, his race two back is very good. I mean, so I don't know what happened last time. I didn't give him any excuse last time. That, you know, was a route, though. It was two turns and a mile and a 16th at Belmont is one turn. So maybe he's not a two turn horse. It's very possible. So I wouldn't throw him out. Going back to Scary Fast Smile, the race was dressed up two back, but it was very fast. So that being said, I'm not like, and not only that, he was off Lasix last time for going around two turns. So I'm just throwing out his last race where he was on a total dead rail at Los Al. So he's not a throw out. So I'm including him underneath. The horse I don't really care for out of the ones I mentioned are Risk and Reward, just because of the post and the 7 furlongs. And he's not going to make a clear lead with Scary Fast Smile in here.
Which is kind of why I don't like Scary Fast Smile, because I think he's going to be pushing it pretty hard for 7 furlongs as well with Risk and Reward in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wide open race. And like, I mean, DreamShake could run off the screen, but if he doesn't, it's almost any horse's race. So it could juice up the pick five.
Yeah, I agree. But after DreamShake, you know, to me, Adair's best race is better than the rest in here. And you know, the form's kind of muddled, but I'm not exactly sure for sure that horse is in good form, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see it run a good race in here. So, you know, to me, Adair is a pretty good bet in this race.
I'm absolutely adding Adair based on, you know, having been initially interested and not liking that last race, but the excuse, which is invisible if you're not paying attention to bias, the excuse is a bad rail.
Plus he didn't break good that day either. He got off at least a length or two slow that day. I think he's a very good bet, especially.
Yeah. Like, it's interesting because he didn't get bumped, but I remember Trevor Demmon saying that he was off a little bit slow. He was off a couple lengths slow. I don't know why.
Sometimes horses don't like breaking from that rail going 6.5. It's just a little dicey down in there. So I don't know. That's my excuse for him. And then plus that, I didn't think the rail was good. So I mean, he's just value wise, he should be, I think he should be 4 or 5 to 1. He's going to be 10, 12 to one. So I mean, it's just, he's a must use.
Yeah. And I mean, the nice thing about the pick five, if you're going deep in some race and you're going like 4 deep, going 5 deep is not going to kill your bankroll. Whereas, you know, if you single and decide that you want to use a second horse, you're doubling your whole pick five bet. I mean, you know, assuming that you do it as a caveman type thing. Okay, well, we'll move to the ninth race. It's the Del Mar Oaks, grade one, mile and eighth on turf. Purse of 300,000 for 3-year-old fillies. Duke, what did you think here?
I think probably the favorites will probably come back and run probably 1-2 again, going global. And is it Madone or Madone? I don't know.
It's that's the pronunciation I was talking about earlier. I watched Frank Miramati. I've watched Madone's third race ago, three races ago. I watched that race and he pronounced it Madone. And so Chris was like, I'm not sure how to pronounce him on the last pod. And I said, oh, it's Madone. But then Trevor Demon pronounced it Madone. And I listened to both Trevor Demon and Frank Miramati the race before, and he changed it to Madone. So it must be Madone.
Okay, so it's Madone. I don't see any excuse why Going Global got beat by Madone last time. I thought they both ran super good races, but they did get a pretty good pace to run at. So, I mean, that being said, they seem like the classiest of this bunch. The only one that I'm a little interested that surprised is the one, Closing Remarks, who ran on the dirt last time. And the time before, when she ran against Madone, she actually clipped heels and came extremely wide with Espinoza and ran a really good second. So I think without the clipping heels and, you know, and going wide, could have been, you know, could have been right there or maybe even one. So Closing Remarks is going to be my third one. I'm just going to use 1, 3, and 4.
Okay. Three deep in that one. Chris, what are you thinking?
Well, I just want to echo everything that Duke said. Those three horses, I think, are all contenders. But to me, the value play in here is the two-horse Javonica. This horse, real interesting to me. I mean, it actually was only beaten a neck against the boys, and the winner of that race was Ron Bauer back at Golden Gate on the 10th, and Ron Bauer came back and won the Preakness. That was a really impressive race. After that, they tried her on the dirt. I guess they were thinking, well, if she ran well on the synth, let's try her on the dirt. Now, that experiment failed, not surprisingly. So then they put her back where she belonged, really, which was against the girls on the turf. And she got beat by Madone, but she had a really tough trip that day. Lots of excuses. So I'm willing to forgive that one. And then she came back and showed some real versatility. You know, typically she had been a stalker, but they put her on the lead and she actually wired the field. I don't think that's her preferred style, but it showed she could use that tactical speed. And this is a race without any clear-cut front runner. I don't know if she'll be on the lead, but at least I'm pretty confident from that post that she'll be forwardly placed, which is, I think, you want to be given the likely pace scenario. So this horse should get a really good trip. You know, she's shown a lot of talent and versatility from a surface standpoint to a pace standpoint. You know, she almost beat Ron Bauer. She beat a whole bunch of boys on the synth. And I think her form at last time she ran against Madone in Closing Remarks and is buried good. So a lot of value there. She's 10-1 the morning line. She might creep up above that given all the other options in here. So, you know, I like Javonica, the two horse, quite a bit as a bet.
Okay. Well, you stole my thunder, Chris. I'm all about Javonica, and it is Javonica if Trevor Demon pronounced it right in his last race. I'm assuming that he did pronounce it right. It's a race devoid of speed. She probably does wire this field. She only wired for the first time in her last race. But she doesn't really have a choice but to just wire this field. And I think she will. And you mentioned all the things that I was going to say. She lost by a neck to Rombauer. In April, she ran on dirt. In May, she has serious trouble. In her last, she just held on at a mile, but then galloped out ahead. So like they were closing in on her, but then she still galloped ahead. I think she has one more really big race in her, and I'm tempted to single. However, I would also, I fear Fluffy Socks because she's shown some signs of brilliance. I want to know what you guys think of Fluffy Socks.
I'm not a huge fan. I thought she got a very good trip last time, and I don't know. I don't know if she's up to these horses, but I mean, it is Chad Brown. He can always win these races, but I think you guys made a good point about the pace of this race, which I didn't really notice as well as I should have the first time. I thought Tetragonal might put a little pressure on Javanica. Is that what you say? Javanica. So I don't think Javanica necessarily wants the lead, like Chris was saying. I think he just ended up on the lead last time because there wasn't any pace in that race. So I'm not sure that horse is just going to go to the front and wire the field. But she's okay too, but I just didn't think she was as good as the top three horses. She got beat quite a bit to them. I know she had some trouble, but not any more trouble than Closing Remark had against Madone. So again, tough race, but I'm still sticking with 1-3-4.
Ooh, I'm close to singling Javanica just because I figure if I leverage her, then I can go deep in the other horse, in the other legs.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about singling her. I think she's the bet as a win bet and maybe as a key in vertical place, but I'm not sure I'd single her. Just Fluffy Sox to me is the best closer, and you get Joel Rosario, but the pace might not be ideal for that horse. You know, if they go real slow, it probably won't hurt it, but if they kind of have a moderate pace, I think Fluffy Sox will have to, you know, really turn, you know, Rosario is going to have to really time it right on that horse. But, you know, it is a talented horse. The one horse that we haven't mentioned that I just will toss in is the 9-horse Soaring Sky. This isn't a great European horse, but it's not bad. And anytime Euros come over here, especially to the West Coast, you have to respect them, and the barn's not a bad barn at all. So to me, that horse kind of drew a tough post, but, you know, I'm always a little bit leery of any of these, shippers from Europe, especially 3-year-old fillies. So now that one you might want to include as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring up the odds on that horse, but they have to be double digit.
12-1 on the morning line.
That horse is going to be long. Those are cheaper tracks, I think, in Europe. And I watched her replay last time. She didn't do much running, so I wasn't a fan.
Okay, let's move to the marquee race of the day. It's the TVG Pacific Classic, Grade 1, mile and a quarter on dirt, purse of $1 million, 3-year-olds and up. Chris, your turn to start.
That's a kind of an interesting race. They're pretty competitive. A lot of these horses, I'm not sure really want to go a mile and a quarter, even though they're good horses. Kind of the storyline I went into with this is, to me, Dr. Post is eerily like Vino Rosso was a couple of years ago. Sort of, he was a notch below the 3-year-olds as a 3-year-old, but he kind of got better. He was kind of goofy as a 3-year-old. He kind of matured as a 4-year-old and got good as the year went on. To me, Dr. Post kind of fits that same mold. And so Pletcher shipped out to the Breeders' Cup site at a mile and a quarter for a test run with Vino Rosso, and that worked out really well for them. He won that prep. He won that test run, and he actually came back and won the Breeders' Cup Classic. They're trying to repeat the same thing. It's at Del Mar rather than Santa Anita, but pretty much the same MO. And to me, this horse is probably the best horse in the race. But the one negative is I've watched his workouts, and he just hasn't looked that great in the workouts. He's been kind of getting outworked by good horses like Mind Control and Happy Saver, but he's getting outworked, and he looks kind of washed out in the workouts. So I'm a little bit nervous about the workouts. But to me, he seems like the best horse. And if you get in him as the third or fourth choice on the board, He's probably the one I go with. But like I said, if the workouts were a little more promising, I'd be a lot higher on this horse. But I'll stick with him anyway and go with the number three, Dr. Post.
Well, I was getting ready for you to reveal your real pick after all that. But especially I didn't like the horse to begin with. But after that workout report, now I like him even less. Duke, what did you think?
Yeah, speaking of Dr. Post, I'm against Dr. Post. There's two things I don't like about Dr. Post. The workouts is definitely concerning, disconcerning. Our clocker at Saratoga has the horse being washed out like in the mornings and getting beat by Following C and Mind Control. And I don't like to see that, especially now he's got to ship across the country and run against top horses going a mile and a quarter, which he's never been. I'm not using him anywhere. So sorry, Chris, but that's not going to be anywhere on my ticket. The horse I'm going with, and if I'm going to hit this pick five, is going to be Royal Ship is going to win. Now, Royal Ship last time, again, we're going back to my bias stuff. This was the second day of the meet, I believe. And the second day of the meet, I thought the rail was worse than the first day of the meet. And if you watch the replay, Mike Smith was down on the inside almost the entire race. And I think when he dove down there, I think he really dove down in the rail, I think turned for home. I think it really cost him the win. And I think it cost him more than a couple lengths. And if he repeats his races 2 and 3 back, I think everybody else is running for second here, because nobody can run figures like he's run at a mile and a quarter. I think all these other horses are mile and an eighth type horses, except for Tis a Magician, who can definitely get the distance, but his numbers at a mile and a quarter are too slow to win a grade one like this. And I'm all over Royal Ship single, and if he loses, I lose.
Wow. You know, that's funny, because I was going to ask you, because on the sheets, I love the pattern of Royal Ship, and on the sheets, they put an X saying that Royal Ship had it was a bad rail that day. And I was going to ask you for confirmation. I didn't even have to ask you. You came right out with it. So it was clearly a definite use. And he's a use for me. He's not a single. I am going to reluctantly take Tis a Magician at the top, because he's pretty darn fast. Now, I haven't watched his last couple races. I didn't get a chance to watch those, but he's been running well. He's fast enough, and he loves. The only question is mile and a quarter too short for him?
I think he'll be fine at a mile and a quarter. He's the horse that's definitely going to get the distance. I just don't know if he's classy enough to win the race. I'm using him underneath for sure, because he's definitely going to get the mile and a quarter.
Yeah, for me, the other horse that the only other horse I was looking at, and that's the Royal Ship, for all the reasons that Duke said. He's fast. He has an excuse for his last race. I don't think a mile and a quarter is his best distance, but he's shown that he can run fast at that distance. So, you know, if Dr. Post doesn't fire, and, you know, I had the same concerns, and I didn't, you know, I wasn't there live, but just watching his workouts, he looks all lathered up while he's running. So, I mean, it just didn't look good. So those workouts were a concern, because I was all really going to like him until I saw those workouts. I'm not nearly as negative as you guys are outside the workouts, but to me, it's either the three Dr. Post or the four Royal Ship. So I'm kind of with Duke on that.
All right. I'm going to throw in a couple of other horses and you guys tell me what you think. Cause this is a race where I have to go deep. I'm skinny on the turf races. So I feel like I can go deep in the two dirt races. Besides Tis a Magician, I like Tripoli. I don't like that. What I like about Tripoli is he's had two dirt races and he ran great in both, and he lost his last race, but the gallop out was best. So he's a use for me. Express Train ran big at this distance. He reacted in his last race and still won. And then my third use outside of Tis a Magician and Royal Ship is Sheriff Brown, who I just, with these long California races on dirt, sometimes are very unpredictable. And I think Sheriff Brown has a pattern that could possibly be interpreted as good. So I'm just going to throw those horses out there for you guys.
Triple E's definitely a use. I thought he got a better trip than the other horses last time. That's the only thing I have against him. I thought, you know, because again, going off my track biases, outside was really good that day, and I thought he was in the right spot. So I'm not huge on him, but his two dirt races are pretty fast. I mean, they're not a mile and a quarter fast; they're a mile and 16th. So I'm a little worried about that. And he was in the right spot. The other one you mentioned was Sheriff Brown doesn't look fast enough. I mean, when you run against horses at 10 furlongs and your figures are barely 90, I don't see a horse jumping up 15 lengths and beating a horse like Royal Ship. That's just too much to overcome, I believe.
Yeah, Sheriff Brown doesn't interest me at all, but Triple E is interesting. I mean, he's bred for the turf, but his two best races have been on the dirt. And he's bred to go a mile and a quarter. I mean, he's by Kitten's Joy out of Tappet. So to me, yeah, maybe he wasn't as good as Express Train last time, or even Royal Ship, given the bias. At a mile and a quarter, I think he's going to be better. So to me, and 5-1 seems like a crazy low price. That morning line, how could that horse be 5-1 in here? That just seems
well.
Like
he was second to Express Train, who is one of the favorites, and he's been working at blistering workouts since the last race.
I guess I'll be shocked if he's 5-1. We'll see. With Royal Ship and Express Train and Dr. Post and Infinite Hall and Tis a Magician, I think 5-1.
Well, we have to throw this out there. We have to throw this out there. Independence Hall, what do you guys think? We didn't mention him initially.
I like him as a racehorse. I just think he's not a mile and a quarter horse. I don't know why they keep running him at a mile and a quarter.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's a mile and a quarter. Now he puts blinkers on too, which I don't think that's necessarily going to help him going a mile and a quarter either, but I don't know. I mean, I'm still going back to, I'm singling Royal Ship so you can mention all the horses in the race, but I just think he's going to win. And those are underneath ones. I mean, I think the only ones that could even sniff Royal Ship are Triple E, like you said, if he can get a distance. Dr. Post, if he was right, I think could, but I don't think he's right. And Express Train, I thought, was kind of the now horse last time off the layoff, ran fresh, and I think he's going to go backwards here, but that's just an opinion. Independence Hall just hasn't been in the right form, and I think it's tough to ask
I think we can probably agree Independence Hall is not going to be 5-1 in this race. I mean, is he? If he is 5-1, there's value other horses.
You think that's too low, right? You think?
Yeah. I think he should be. I think he'll be 10-1.
Yeah, I think him and Triple E will be much higher than the rest.
Yeah, I agree. I Independence Hall will be lower price than Triple E, I would think, but they're both probably higher. You know, to me, you mentioned Express Train. That's another horse I don't think is a mile and a quarter horse either. You know,
I agree.
He's a good horse, but both of them, I just don't see him winning at a mile and a quarter. Any of them could.
Okay. Out of a Belmont winner, by a Belmont winner out of a Mineshaft mare, you don't think Express Train can get a mile and a quarter?
Well, that breeding doesn't mean a whole lot when they've already run the distance a few times and it looks like.
Yeah, he lost by a half length.
He gave up, looked like a sure winner, and he gave it up late. I'm just saying he's a mile and eighth horse. I'm not saying he can't get a mile and a quarter, but he's just not a mile and a quarter horse. I'm not saying he can't win. Independence Hall might win if he gets the right trip, but I think both of them are better at shorter distances. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Magic on Tap could win if he gets the right trip.
No, he's too slow.
No, I agree. I'm kidding.
These aren't the type of races where horses just all of a sudden jump up and run you know, you're talking about a lot of lengths you have to improve at 10 furlongs. There's just not the kind of race where a horse like Magic on Tap or Sheriff Brown or Cupid's Claw. I mean, when you want to play long shots, play them in those turf races where it's a mad scramble at the end, not in mile and a quarter dirt races. That's just my opinion. But I mean, I would never play horses like them. I mean, these guys are living pipe dreams with the 6, 8, and 9, I think.
I mean, I will say that the Sheriff Brown is out of Curlin or by Curlin. And that is part of the reason why I gravitated toward the horse. I'm just throwing it out there as a lot, you know, because these California races are, these California dirt races, at least over the last few years, have been very unpredictable. And that's why I think this horse has some kind of chance.
Yeah, I think at 30-1, he's an underlay. I don't give Sheriff Brown any chance at all. He's outclassed. He's a plotter. There's just nothing about him that says he can win this race. Just no chance, I think. You know, as if I were Andrew Beyer, I'd say he has no shot.
All right. Well, with that, we can move on to the next race, which is the 11th, the Del Mar Handicap, grade 2, mile and 3/8 on turf, purse of $300,000 for 3-year-olds and up. Duke, what did you think?
Oh, well, these are not my specialty races, mile and 3/8 on the grass, but I think I'm going to have to lean on the best horse angle. The best horse angle is Arklo. Arklo has a class edge a little bit on these guys, and he had a horrible trip at Monmouth last time. You can just toss the race. He almost fell, so I mean, it was a complete throwout. If he comes back to his race here last year, he was super impressive at Del Mar in November last year, and just was overpowering them at the end. I just think he's going to get a good pace scenario with Acclimate and award winner. So there has to be pace in the race, and he does need pace, and he's going to get it. And I just think he might be just better than these horses. My second choices would be United the 4 and Master of Foxhounds. They're both solid horses at a mile and 3/8. But I think Arklo has a little bit of a class edge on those two.
Well, interesting that you neglected to mention Red King, who you picked last year in this race, and he won.
But Red King is not the same horse this year. Red King has been very – I know this because I love Red King. I'm a big fan of Red King. And his races this year have been very, very poor. I think he might have just be – he hit the end of the road for him. He's 7-year-old horse, and I think it's I think this might be his last season because he's just been – he's thrown in some clunkers. I bet him 2 and 3 back, and he was not good.
Yeah, he really peaked out that one race where you picked him. And I wrote as a trip note that he was a buzzsaw, and I believe – I'm not sure if that was his last win, but I think it was his last win. It was his last one.
Also, I think he's also been off LASIK this year. That could be the problem. I don't know if it is or isn't, but he's just not the same horse.
All right. Chris, what did you think here?
Well, I agree with everything that Duke said about Arklo. He's the best horse. He's shipped to Del Mar and won before. He had total excuse in his last. So I agree with all that. He's the most likely winner. And if he's not the favorite, you know, I like him much better than United. Of course, I'm always against United, and about half the time he beats me and half the time he doesn't. So I agree with that. I don't think there's a lot of value in playing Arklo, but between those two, I favor Arklo, and he's the most likely winner. He does, with his running style, it's always dicey. I mean, just like in that last race, you know, he could have trouble. And if he does, then to me, it's pretty wide open. There's several I'm interested in. Master of Foxhounds is one of those, kind of an improving 4-year-old that seems to really like these longer distances. So I'm with Duke on that one as an alternative. There's two others. The one I'll mention, and then I'll give it back to Scott and see who he likes. Is I guess I'll go with the price first. The Six Horse Masterpiece. You know, this horse has some graces that are good enough to win. His last was kind of dull, and he switches barns from Chad Brown to Mike McCarthy. So anytime, you know, that leaves the Brown barn, that's probably not a good sign. But, you know, this horse was running against all the grade one horses on the East Coast that are better than these West Coast horses in general. So he gets a little class relief in here, I think, and a change of scenery and a new barn. And he has some talent. So he has a good recent workout at Del Mar. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if you get that 15-1 or higher. That's a horse that, with the right trip, it wouldn't be a shocker at all. He gets in light too at 119. So like he's getting like 5 and 6 pounds from Arklow and United. So he's kind of interesting at a really big price. There's another horse I like some as well, but I'll pass it over to Scott.
Well, I haven't done enough work on this race. I ran a little bit out of time, but I feel bad about this, but I really like United. I mean,
pick him every time he runs. So I was almost sure you were going to pick United.
I didn't pick him last time and he won at 3-1 or whatever.
I thought you did pick him.
No, I didn't pick him
last time.
Oh, well, no, I mentioned him as a contender. I didn't pick him on top. Otherwise I would have been like, yeah, I picked United.
Okay. It seems to me like you've always liked the horse anyway. I know you picked him quite
well. I really liked him in the Breeders' Cup turf last year. I really liked him in the Breeders' Cup turf, but that was at Churchill and, you know, or Keeneland. It was in Kentucky and maybe he didn't like the ship. I have always regretted that pick because I know Duke and Paul Matisse, his brother, didn't have any interest in that horse. And I don't know if it was because – I don't know if he lost because he wasn't a good enough horse or because of the ship. But either way, I really like the pattern for him coming into this race. He's 3-for-5 at Del Mar. He's got 2 seconds. I think he could go off at 5-2, 3-1, and he could easily be a single in this race. Although I also like Acclimate, who's just on fire right now, and I would probably use those two.
Your horse, United, stumbled in the Breeders' Cup turf last year. You must have forgot. He got to like the third turn and he took like a really bad step in there. And they basically just pulled him up, but he just kind of gave up at that point.
I do remember that, but I also think like he stumbled because he just wasn't right.
Yeah. Well, something happened. Who knows what happened, but he didn't take that much time off. So, I mean, he's come back good. I never hit him either. I don't know what it is. Chris and I don't think I ever hit that horse, but he beats me when I don't bet him. You know, it's like when I bet him, he doesn't run. He's a tough horse for me to figure, but he's definitely capable of winning this race.
Yeah, I always bet against him as an underlay, and sometimes I do win and sometimes I lose. I mean, he wins about half the time, so beats me about half the time because I'm always against him. I'm against him in here. I think he's a big underlay. I don't think he's any better than anybody else in here. The other horse I like in here, though, is the outside horse, Say the Word. And this horse has some big races to run back to. And that last one, you know, I picked him in that race, but I thought it was way too short for his best. I just thought he might get a setup. He didn't get the setup, and he got a ride like it was just a prep. I mean, Mike Smith never gave him any chance at all in that race. And he galloped out past United. I think that was a race. Wait, no. Was United in that race? Who was it? Who won that race? Was it? It was, yeah.
United won that race.
Yeah, he galloped out past United in that race. And he just had a no-chance trip. It looked like a prep. And, you know, this horse is good enough to win. And he's back at the distance. It was probably a prep for this race is my guess. And, you know, if he can run back to like some of his big races this year or even earlier in the year, you know, he has a chance with the right trip to win. He's 6-1 on the morning line, which seems low to me. You know, he was 6-1 last time and got beat 3.5 lengths. So I don't see how he's going to be 6-1 again in here. And they get Mike Smith off, which is always a good thing on the turf. Bravo's been riding pretty well out at Del Mar on the turf, especially. So, you know, it's a tough post, but it's a long race, and he'll be coming from out of it. So hopefully he can drop over and not lose too much ground early. And, you know, I think he might float up above that 6-1. So he seems like some value there.
Yeah, he has capable. He definitely has capable races of winning. I mean, he got beat a length to Arklow here in November last year, and he was flying late, if you remember, with Pratt. I wish Pratt was on him instead of United, but he had to take United here. D'Amato also got off to a pretty poor start, if I remember right, at Del Mar. I think the first 2 weeks, I don't think he may have won one out of like 20 starts. So maybe you're right. Maybe they gave him a race and were prepping for this one, because he did run, he ran good at 1.5 miles here at Del Mar, and mile and 3/8 might be good for him.
Well, I think you're right. He's going to be higher than 6-1 for sure. And I'm just trying to bring up the Sport of Kings odds, because this is one of the races. And he's 14-1 early.
Yeah, that's
14-1.
14-1 is too high for that horse. Especially, I agree with that. What Chris was saying about Mike Smith. Mike Smith is terrible in long distance turf races. I mean, I think he's a great rider in certain circumstances, but long distance turf races, he is not good. So it's a good rider change to Bravo, who has been riding long distance turf races very well.
Yeah, Mike Smith is not a Hall of Fame rider going on in turf routes, put it that way.
No, definitely not.
Asterisk next to the Hall of Fame credentials. It's interesting because, you know, I'm thinking like More Than Ready. Does he sire 1.375 turf horses? Well, Say the Word has won a couple times at 1.5 miles. So, yes, he can do it.
Yeah, I mean, at this point in their careers, the breeding doesn't mean a whole lot unless they're doing something new. I mean, this horse has proven, you know, he likes the longer distances. I mean, that's where he's done his best running. So, you know, regardless of the breeding.
They're running 1.5 miles on the turf.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
run
I'm
well,
going to
1.5 miles.
I'm going to ask you guys out of self-interest. Acclimate to me is just, he's just so on right now. To me, you kind of have to include him. I mean, I don't see any reason why he's not going to run well. Maybe because he might be pressed by Award Winner. But
yeah, I think Acclimate, he likes clear leads. Is he going to get one this time? He might not get it this time. He likes to get out there and run by himself. I got a feeling he's going to have a tough time doing that today. I mean, it just doesn't look good for that scenario for me, but.
I think I was impressed with his last race so much. And, you know, maybe it was just the circumstance that he had the easy lead. But he just barely lost to Award Winner when he had the lead on a faster pace and galloped out best. So I don't know. I don't know. At 10-1 morning line, I have a hard time not using Acclimate. One for one,
yeah,
at the races, by the way.
D'Amato's got two horses in the race, so he's got Acclimate and Say the Word. Say the Word's going to be much, I would think, a much longer price than Acclimate. But I would take Say the Word over Acclimate. I'm not an Acclimate fan, only because I do think he needs clear leads. And that race was weird at Santa Anita, that one you're talking about where he got beat a nose. Nobody moved in that race. Like, there was no movement at all in that race, like nothing. I don't see that happening here. It could, it always can in long distance turf races, but I not a scenario I see very probable.
Yeah, both Acclimate and Say the Word are 14-1 on Sport of Kings early betting. So I think, you know, we can expect them both to be double digits.
Yeah, and they'll be using that engine caboose kind of teamwork there too. So, you know, one's going to be on the lead and one's going to be near the back in that D'Amato entry, or not entry, but D'Amato pair.
I mean, I would say on number power, I agree with you. Say the Word. He's got the numbers I'm looking at say he could win this race and not be a surprise at all.
That's what I think. And I mean, like I said, if you look at that last race going all, you know, shorter as kind of a prep, he strung together some really good races. I mean, that was the only race that wasn't what I would consider to be kind of a solid race. And even that race, if you look, given the No Hope ride, when he let him gallop out, he galloped out past everybody. So, you know, to me, he definitely is live, and I think he's going to be higher than 6-1.
Okay, I know Duke does not have any other plays on the card, but Chris, I know you do have another play on the card, so let's have it.
Well, I just want to mention this is a mandatory payout day on the Pick 6 at Del Mar, so probably some of the listeners are going to take a shot at that. So I wanted to just mention the sixth race, which is the start of the Pick 6. I took a look at that. You know, it's fairly wide open race. There is a Baffert horse that's stretching out for the first time. It's a three-year-old, and that's, you know, Baffert's wheelhouse is stretching three-year-olds out to, you know, two turns, especially in stakes races. So the seven-horse Private Mission, probably one you have to include. But I think the horse that could be a price that is interesting to me is the 2, Lizette, who has some of these are stretching out. This one's actually been the distance. It showed it can kind of stalk and finish. It finished out its last race really well, drew a good post, has Rispoli riding. You know, should get a nice stalking trip behind a pretty quick pace, likely. And it's 6-1 on the morning line, which is doesn't sound real high, but, you know, in a standard kind of John White morning line, there's 4 other horses at lower price. So he tends to have kind of flat morning lines. So that, you know, horse is a fifth choice, especially in the Pick 6. Seems like you're getting value there on the 2, Lizette.
Okay, spot play, the 2, Lizette, in the Del Mar 6th. I don't have any other plays because I haven't looked at the races. But before we go, I'd like to thank our guest, Duke Matisse. Duke, thanks for hanging with us today.
Thanks, Scott. Chris, I hope there's some winners in there somewhere. I'm really hoping Royal Ship wins because that's my best opinion on the card. And always good to talk with you guys because horse racing, you got to have opinions and you got to bet them, right? That's the way it works.
That's right. And I think that the optimal end result would be at least one of each of our opinions like nails it. So if that happens, then I think we're doing our job.
Yeah. And like Duke said, you have an opinion and you bet it. And what's really nice about horse racing is you get that feedback right away. You know, either get punished or rewarded. It doesn't take long to find out how good what the result is and how it matches up with your opinion.
All right. Well, yeah, that will
return. It's always good to have a quick return on your investment.
Yeah. As I was speaking to Chris earlier, winning is always better. So that will conclude show number 135 of the Sport of Kings pod. Good luck at Del Mar and wherever else you play. And please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Giddy up.